Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Honey, today we have the pleasure of speaking with Miss Dempsey Maria, who is the author of the book, Change Your Way of Thinking and Find Happiness. Honey, I got to tell you, I'm loving the whole vibe she is giving in this book. This is one of those books for sure you want to keep on your shelf. You want to make sure you tell some friends about it. So when we are done with this podcast, I need y'all to go head on over to Amazon and grab your personal copy. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I am super excited about helping people with this book and changing people's lives.
So, you know, I love in the book you talk about finding your happiness, but, you know, for me on this channel, I always talk about what's your story? What started all of this for you?
Well, my story started when I was, oh my Lord, about 3 years old. And I remember my dad physically abusing my mom and my siblings. He never physically abused me, but mentally a lot of torn memories about him hitting my mother. And at one point, and this is my biggest memory is so photogenic right now, because I was 3 years old. They came home from a party and we were new to the United States. So seeing them go out was really great. But when he drank, he was just a mean, mean person. And he walked in and he went right to my mom, and she was looking so beautiful that night, and he punched her right in the eye with her glasses, and he knocked her down and she was unconscious. So obviously at 3 years old, I'm thinking my mother died. You know, I had no idea she was gonna get up. She was unconscious. And that moment, it brought back so much fear in me. And to this day, I fear, well, I overcame it, but when I wrote the book, it brought back all that fear I had of men and what power they had over women. And it was just a very nasty moment that I don't ever want to remember again. But that's what the book is about. It's about letting go and letting God into your life. And I'm so proud of myself for overcoming that. And as we continue speaking, you'll find out how.
I love how you talked about, and a lot of people talk about the trauma. You talk about your childhood trauma, seeing your father. And what is so interesting is that you pinpoint the exact year of 3 years old. So many people always talk about, oh, well, you know, 3 years old, nobody really remembers. You are living proof that, yes, people do remember things as young as three. I love how you also go a little bit deeper in talking about the effects of the trauma. You know, I believe in, and I even wrote a book about it called Trauma and All Their Cousins. You know, I talk about how that trauma hits and then the things that we attach or come with it, and we don't realize it until later. And I as you spoke about that detachment and that fear of men, that had to be something that took some time to overcome that. Talk to us a little bit about how you overcame that fear.
Well, you know how they always say that usually when you or your parents live in a certain way, that when you get older, you kind of marry the same person. Like it's almost like it's a magnetic attachment to the what you know. And so I got into a relationship. I had two children. We were together for 20 years. And I discovered that men don't have to physically hit you to make you feel like you're being abused. So he mentally abused me. He verbally abused me. put me down constantly, and I wasn't happy at all. But I wanted my children to have that white picket fence, right? And they did. They had everything in life that they needed, and I lost myself in the relationship because I was living the dream that I thought I wanted with the wrong person.
Wow. And that's such a powerful statement you made, because so many of us want these ideals of what we think it should look like to be in this happy marriage, or what we think it looks like to even be in marriage. Let me just start there. Because so many people just figure, well, this is what I want, this is how it should look. But if you have the wrong person, what was that, once that beautiful dream literally can turn into a nightmare.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I was living. I was technically living in nightmare to make my children happy. I was not happy at all. Nobody ever knows what happens behind the four walls, right? And everybody thought we had this magnificent, you know, we weren't technically married, but in my state, after 8 years, you consider married because we were together for 20 years. And everybody thought we had it all. We had the houses, we had investments, we had two kids, two cars, five or six houses that we rented. And, you know, they thought we were living the life, and we had a lot of money. We traveled, we went to Disney like 10 times. It was disgusting. It was like, and I almost felt guilty because, you know, the little cousins and nieces and nephews, they wanted to go too, but their parents weren't living the same life that we were. Yes, we worked very, very hard. But I was always alone. I lived a lonely life. And on the weekends, I lived alone. All I did was coach my kids because I wanted to fill in that void, you know? And I realized that after so many breakups and breakups and breakups with him, and I kept leaving him, and my children started to deviate. They started getting older, and my daughter wanted nothing to do with living with us, right? And that kind of woke me up right there. When she hit 18 years old and she graduated, she moved out. She moved out. And I was affected by that so much because she told me, she goes, "Mom, I love you with all my heart and I don't ever want to hurt you, but I can't live in this house, you know, with her father. He treats you mean."
Let me ask a question. I mean, this was such a pivotal moment. Was this the moment that everything changed? Because, I mean, here you have your baby saying to you at 18, "I can't live like this anymore. I can't do this anymore." Was this the day that it all changed?
Looking back, that was the pivotal moment. That was the moment that opened my eyes to, this is not a family. This is just, this was just a dream that I had. Mm. And this is what I wanted to live. But it wasn't the exact dream of love at all. There was no love. It was just money, having material things. That meant nothing. Once my daughter moved out, my whole life just, it was an awakening moment. It was a sad moment. But looking back, I needed to see that happen to get my life together. And she woke me up. She really did.
And so literally, your daughter was your wake-up call.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. I thank God every day because we're so close. And we don't try to talk about the past anymore because she cries and I cry. And so we decided that we're not going to mention those names anymore. We're not going to mention the past. The past is gone. And one day she said to me, actually, she walked around me and she hit my shoulder really hard. And I says, "Hey, that hurt." And she goes, "What?" And I said, "You just hit me on the shoulder." And she goes, "Yeah, but that was in the past," meaning it shouldn't hurt anymore. And she's very clever like that. And it, you know, on a daily basis, honestly, I feel like she makes me feel what I should have felt then, but we weren't in the right place.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing you now, this woman who is strong and moving forward. Tell me, what were some of the steps that you took to be this fully healed woman? Because so many people jump up and they talk about the story, but they're not really healed. Or so many people say, oh, I'm doing better. But you find when they start talking, it sounds bitter. What mm-hmm. were the steps that you took for you?
Honestly, you have to dedicate yourself, commit yourself to saying, I am getting a counselor. There's nothing wrong with seeing a counselor or psychologist, nothing at all. I have loved all of my counselors. They've given me great advice. If you're not happy, then get someone else, but commit yourself to at least 3 sessions. And if you're not happy, if you don't feel the change, then, you know, make other choices. But for me and for many people that I know, especially women, they take that step and I see the change. I see the happiness. I see them moving forward. They start doing things that they never thought they could do because they've always been mentally abused, verbally abused, told that they can't do this, they can't do that, that they're no good at it. This is why I'm looking for someone else, because, you know, and you start feeling intimidated. You start thinking less of yourself. But when you start going to counseling and you start getting that encouragement, that support, the need, the advice, you know, write everything down. I had a counselor tell me once, make a list. One side will say all the good things. The other side will say all the bad things. And then see what outweighs. See what you can work on. And I did it. And that's the thing, you have to, when I say commit yourself, it's not just talking to this person, crying. Yeah, cry all you want. That is why you have counseling. But when they give you the advice to do things, do them, because it's homework. And it really is mental work for you. And it's cleaning you out from the inside out. It's cleaning you and it's letting you know. When I did that project about the good and the bad, oh my Lord, all I saw was a long list. I still see it right now, a long list of all the bad things. And then all the good things were just like, let's go traveling, let's go camping, let's go this, let's go do that. But every time we went camping or to the beach, all we did was fight. And so was that fun? No. Did the kids have a good time? Yes. But they also saw the good, the bad, and the ugly most of the time. And so if you commit yourself to seeing a counselor, to writing things down, to making a change, even if you decide to go to the beach by yourself, there's nothing wrong. I love going to the beach by myself. It's just, for me, it's like a breather. I can relax. I can breathe. I can think of all the possibilities in my life and make adjustments and talk to myself about, oh, you know what? I'm going to start bike riding, which is something that I did a month and a half ago. I've lost 12 pounds and I love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So well, yeah,
what I love commitment. About this, it literally, as you talked about, you use my word, you know, it's committing, but it's also those small steps. People think it has to be major stuff. And literally you just, you know, you said, you know, finding that right counselor, taking the time to commit to at least 3 sessions. And then once you find one that you connect with, actually getting in and doing the work, you know, remembering that this is not their voyage. It's your voyage. It's your journey. Exactly. And when you get in that journey, being open and honest with yourself, like you talked about, writing that pros and cons list, really knowing, you know, what does it look like? And then being okay with reshaping and redefining who you want to be or who you set out to be. So I gotta ask, so now I went there, what was some of your redefining tips that for you yourself, you started saying, yeah, I want to do this. So this is how I redefined me. What did you do?
I started, my passion is writing. And I've always wrote since I was very young. It helped me get rid of all the anger, the sadness, and you know, all the things that you kind of carry inside for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But that's all I ever did was write it down. Finally, I decided to do something about it. I says, you know what? I can help somebody with my life, with my test, which becomes a testimony. And so I started speaking in small places and churches. I give advice to women in jail. I talk to my nieces and I talk to them a lot about not letting anyone, whether it's a man or a woman, take advantage of them. And so I felt that for me, when I was going out and doing these things, it was redefining the person that I was, because now I'm not afraid to talk about what I was writing down. I think before I was ashamed, I was embarrassed. I didn't feel useful. And by doing this, I go to the homeless all the time. I bring waters, we do lunches, we give clothes. And I notice now that my niece and my daughter want to go all the time. And so I feel, even the church that I go to, a few of the girls decided to go this weekend and give lunch. So I feel that by reshaping myself and redefining myself and doing the things that I was writing down has helped me 120%. It makes you feel so good. It makes you feel like, wow, you did something great today. You don't have to brag about it. Just go do it.
So tell us a little bit about the book. You talked about the story behind it, what made you change and how you got into this and your passion for writing. But just give us a little snippet about the book. Like if you had to tell somebody, what chapter would you want them to go to first?
I would probably say chapter 4 and 5. It's because I start talking about myself when I was very young and the things that happened and that made me continue fearing men as early as in second and third grade. And I think that's chapter 4. And then chapter 5 talks about my mother, what she did for us and what made her such a strong woman. To this day, everybody says that she was the strongest woman they've ever met. And now I hear people saying that to me all the time. And I think that it makes me so proud. It makes me proud because even yesterday, one of my nieces says, you know, Auntie, you're going to leave this world and you're going to leave all these books written and people are going to start reading books again when the internet goes away. Mm-hmm. I think what she was really saying is that social media has taken over everything, really. And we need to get back to the basics and people are going to start reading your books and they're going to start reshaping themselves. And I was like, wow.
That's awesome. From the mouth of babes, I should say. So tell us, where can we go to get this dynamic book?
So you can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes and Noble's, a lot of local stores in your areas, because they have it in the US and they have it in the UK and Canada now. So all you have to do is go to Amazon, type in Change Your Way of Thinking and Find Happiness, or my name, Delcy Fernandez, or you can go to my Facebook group page, which is called Soar by Faith. So there's many avenues. By the way, Patricia, I forgot to tell you that I have a 3-book series coming up in the fall for children.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
We can talk about that in a different interview.
Yes, we can. Hello. Yeah. I'm loving that. This last moment, I want to give you a moment to kind of do our last word, but I'm going to change it up. I used to do this a little different. If you had to give yourself one word to describe the woman that you are, I'm going to make it a little bit more. Let's take it from a last word to a simple phrase to describe the woman that you are now from the woman that you were before. What would be your phrase?
I am a powerful, free, courageous, and beautiful woman.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard it, honey. She is a powerful and courageous woman. Listen, I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of our game, and where we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.